الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected elders and ulama ikram, brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in us emotions, feelings and sentiments. And these emotions and feelings and sentiments are such that we are affected by them depending on the circumstances. Sometimes it is the quality of love, sometimes of hatred, sometimes of anger. Different sentiments and emotions sometimes grip us. From all these sentiments and emotions, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made one very dynamic quality and emotion, and that is of love and muhabbat. Like we requested earlier, we should try and sit together. From the etiquettes of Jummah, we should sit close to each other. Brothers that are far apart, we humbly appeal to you to come as close as possible without taking any offense. We had mentioned the virtues, and we'd like to mention it over and over again, that you should sit as close as possible to the Imam. It's the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we should try and abide by the laws of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except for those people that are excused, who have some excuse, obviously, they are sitting down and leaning, but apart from that, we should try and abide by the etiquettes of the masjid. So we're mentioning this dynamic quality of love and muhabbat, which we find is a great force in the life of a human being. It's such a force that despite the difficulties and hardships, a person feels a sense of comfort and tranquility if he has love. If he or she has love, then we find that despite the difficulties and hardships, we find there is sweetness. Even in that bitterness, there is sweetness. Ask that mother that has to get up in the early part of the night because of a little child who now needs to be fed or breastfed or needs to be changed, etc. What a difficult task to break your sleep at night. But for that love of the little child, it becomes so easy for that mother to do so. Ask that father who has to brave the severe weathers outside to go and earn a living for his wife and children. He does so in a condition where he's comfortable and happy and contented. Why? Because he has the love of his wife and children. Similarly, if you look at the lives of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then deeply embedded in their hearts was the love of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No task was so difficult for them. To sacrifice their desires was not hard for them. To undergo afflictions and hardship was very easy for them. To abide with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the most trying circumstances was absolutely easy, because they had that intense love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. None of you is a believer till I do not become more beloved to him than his father, his son, or his children, and the entire human race and humanity. You cannot be a perfect Muslim and a complete Muslim till Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not more beloved to you than your father, your children, or your son, and the entire human race. Here we find the standard of Iman has been mentioned, of perfect Iman. That perfect Iman is that person who has more love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than his own father, more love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than his own children, more love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam than all the wannasi ajma'in, than all the people of the world. He loves Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than he loves all the people of the world. Here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells you, cannot become a believer, that means a perfect and a complete believer, till you do not have this standard of love. Now if you look at the causes of love, they are so different, or the types of love, they are so different. One is that natural love, that instinctive love, that love that comes naturally, like the love of a son for his father, the love for the father of his son. This is the natural love. You don't have to teach the child and tell the child that this is your father, so you must love your father. Nor do you have to tell the child, the father, that this is your son, you must love him. This is a natural love, an instinctive love. In his instincts, it is there, and it is an involuntary love that a person has for his children. And this depends on the degree of proximity. Obviously, if it's for the son, then he has more love. If it's for his father also, he has love, then for his grandson, then for his grandfather. In accordance to his proximity that he has, this love flows. So this is one type of love. The second type of love is the love jamali. Because of some beauty, a person is attracted towards something, whether it may be a picture, whether it may be a person, etc. He sees the beauty is mirrored there, and he becomes attracted to it and begins to love that object or begins to love that person because of the beauty. And this is known as hubb jamali, because of the jamal and the beauty in the thing, a person begins to love. The third type of love is the love because of some perfection, some excellence, some perfection, some distinction a person has, whether it is a pious person, whether it is some other worldly person, or whether it's a person that has made achievement as far as deen is concerned, etc. Look at their piety, and because of the excellence of their piety and achievements, we begin to love them, begin to adore them. And this, even in the worldly sense, we find this in everyday life. The children begin to adore the wrong things, the wrong persons, and they begin to love those people because they see some sort of perfection in them, some sort of excellence and distinction in them. They begin to love them, and this is known as hubb kamali. Then you find the hubb ihsani, where a person does a favor towards a person. When somebody does a favor towards you and me, then what happens? We become indebted to that person. That person's love takes grip in our heart, and we begin to love that person, become fond of that person, because he has helped us, he has assisted us, he has done some good deed towards us. So this is hubb ihsani. Then you find another love that is known as hubb aqli. That's a love that's based on comprehension and understanding and reasoning. Though the item may not be very good, or it may not be desired by the nafs, but when a person comprehends and begins to understand and he fathoms the benefit of that, he begins to love that. Like a sick person who loves bitter medicine, who takes the bitter medicine and he takes it very easily. Why? Because he knows, begins to comprehend and think that there is benefit for me in this, there will be cure for me in this, though the medicine may be very bitter, though his temperament may not be conforming to his temperament, but because he has comprehended, he has applied his mind and reasoning, and he accepts this, and that is why it is easy for him to take that medication. Or for example, to get his hand amputated or his leg amputated, because that will bring him relief, that will bring him relief, bring relief to him for his entire body. So he undergoes the operation, he signs the form of consent as well, he pays for the operation, he thanks the doctor also, yet that brings to him discomfort and hurt and pain, but because he has mentally comprehended and understood the benefits, he is accepting it. So here when Rasulullah ﷺ tells us this, what is meant? What type of muhabbat? Because if you look at the muhabbat that is a natural muhabbat, a muhabbat that is involuntary, that comes by a person's nature, then a person feels that he loves his children more than he loves Rasulullah ﷺ. He loves his father more than he loves Rasulullah ﷺ. So the ulama kiram explained that what is meant here is the last type, that muhabbat that a person gets by comprehending, by mentally working out, and by applying his mind and understanding that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has brought us this mubarak deen, has shown us how to live like human beings in this world, has shown us those ways of success in this world and the hereafter. That is why we have love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we have an intense love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it is not clashing with that natural love that we have. In other words, it is a voluntary love that we have for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some ulama kiram of the opinion that no, a person also has a natural love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but that is, it is latent and it is discreet in him. It is not very apparent, and it surfaces at the time when we find there's a clash between the love of the children and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When a person's father or his son says something, Allah forbid and save us, something against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you will find that father severing his relationship with his son or with his children, etc., because that person had said something against the respect and honor and dignity of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when there's a clash of the muhabbats, when there's a clash, then we will find that the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more, is a natural love, and it's found more in the person's heart than a love for his own children. Other commentators are of the opinion that no, what is meant here is that that love that is voluntary, that love that is voluntary, that love that comes through understanding and mental application of the mind and reasoning, that is meant here. But together with that, when we look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak personality, we find that all the other causes of love or all the other types of love are also found. For example, if you look at perfection, then we find بَلَغَ الْعُلَىٰ بِكَمَالِهِ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was perfect in every single attribute that we can think of. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ The Mubarak akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was most outstanding and most high. There's not a quality, not attribute, not a trait, not a sifat that is not perfect in the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, irrespective of what it is, whether it is the ibadat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it is the humility of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it is the simplicity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it is the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it is the kindness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is absolutely perfect. So together with this hubbi akli, we find that the muhabbat that comes through perfection is also found for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter, if you look at beauty, then we find that أحسن منك لم تلد النساء لم ترى عيني قط وأجمل منك لم تلد النساء. Like the shair and the poet says here, that more handsome, more beautiful than you, more handsome than you, my eyes have never set upon. And more handsome and more beautiful than you, no woman has ever given birth on the face of this dunya. So if you look for beauty, we find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most beautiful of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is why our love that comes because of beauty also should be for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you look for ihsan and favor, then there can be no greater benefactor on the face of the earth than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest benefactor for the entire human race. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ And if you look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sacrifices and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hardship that he had undergone for the comfort of this ummah, for my comfort and your comfort in this world and the hereafter, then we cannot even imagine the difficulty and hardship that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has undergone. This is the great favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon each and every one of us. This is the barakat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we enjoy every single ni'mat that we have in the dunya, and especially the ni'mat of Iman and Islam is through the barakat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is inshallah by virtue of this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy will be directed towards us, and we will be in everlasting happiness and bliss and enjoyment in the hereafter. So if you look at ihsan and favor, there can be no more greater person that has shown more favor to the ummah than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So after comprehending that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought this Mubarak deen to us, has shown us the formula of success in the world and hereafter, then we ponder over his perfection, we ponder over his beauty, we ponder over his ihsan, and we find that our love is increased even more. All the four types of love are found here to such a degree that what is meant here, that our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be more than the natural love we have for our near and dear ones. Our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be developed to such a degree that we have more love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than our near ones and our dear ones, our parents, our children, our wealth and whatever we have. This is what is meant here by the commentators, that you should love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than everything else in the world. And this is not something difficult to understand and comprehend. If you look at the lives of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we find that their love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not only a love because of the comprehension and understanding and reasoning, but it had surpassed the tab'i love, the natural love and instinctive love that a person has, it had surpassed even that level. Somebody asks Ali radiallahu anhu, how would the Sahaba love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? As Ali radiallahu anhu takes an oath and says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more dear to us than our riches. Than our wealth, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more dear to us than our riches. He was more dear to us than our sons. He was more dear to us than our mothers. He was more dear to us and beloved to us than our mothers. And we used to cherish Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's love more, cherish him more than cold water on a time of extreme heat and thirst. When there's extreme heat outside and there's thirst, we know that cold water that a person drinks, how quenching that is to his thirst, how compatible and palatable it is when he drinks that cold water, and what amount of enjoyment and ecstasy he gets. Why? This is a natural trait and a natural
quality that Allah Ta'ala has kept in a human being, that when he's thirsty, especially on an extremely hot day, and he drinks water, how much he cherishes that water. Imagine this profound expression of Ali radiallahu anhu, we should cherish the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than cold water in a time when a person is extremely thirsty. That is how much more they should love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tells him, O Prophet of Allah, I love you more than myself, more than my wealth, and more than my family. I love you more than myself. A person to save himself sometime will sacrifice even his children, will sacrifice his wealth. I love you more than myself. I love you more than my wealth. To save his wealth, what sacrifices the person does? Sometimes he gives his life to save his wealth. I love you more than myself, more than my wealth, and more than my family. And when I'm sitting in my home, and the thought of you occurs to me, then I become very restless till I come and see you, O Prophet of Allah. Can you imagine sitting in the home, in the comfort of his home, and his wife and children, but when the thought of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to his mind, that profound and deep love is so much for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I become restless in my wife and children and my home. The place that we regard as the most comfortable place to be in your home, amongst your wife and your children, where you are the boss of the house. Here, these people say, the sahabi says, I become restless till I come and see you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, when I come and see you, when I see your Mubarak countenance, then this brings peace to my heart. But O Prophet of Allah, now look at the love that they had, that they feared. They feared the separation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Said, O Prophet of Allah, I know that death will come to me and death will come to you as well. And you will go to the exalted position of the Prophet, of the Prophets, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. You will go into paradise and I may go somewhere else. I may go somewhere else and I may be separated from you. I will not be able to see you any longer. I'm so anxious and I'm so distressed about this separation, this thought of the separation from you, O Prophet of Allah. Can you imagine the yearning, the love, and the profound ta'alluq that he has with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he is worried that after death he will not witness the Mubarak countenance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's worried about that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not reply. The occasions when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked questions, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not reply and would wait for divine revelation to come from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the appreciation in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of this person's feeling and this person's sentiments and emotions that he expressed before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the barakat of this question and yearning of the sahabi, sends down this verse of the Holy Quran, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down this verse of the Holy Quran, that whomsoever opening the doors even for us and for the people to come right up to the day of judgment, that whoever is obedient to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he will be with those people upon whom the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, that are the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the saintly ones and the martyrs and the pious one. And that at the best of company, and this is the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, if you are obedient to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you will be in the company of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam in paradise as well. Ulama explained that though the stages will be different, they will be at a very high stage. But in some riwayats, we understand that those people will come from the higher stages and visit their friends in the lower stages. In other words, they will not be deprived of the countenance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam and the pious ones. This was the intense love that they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. One sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam and tells him, O Prophet of Allah, when will Qiyamah come? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, what preparations have you made for Qiyamah? He says, O Prophet of Allah, I cannot claim that I have a lot of salat, have a lot of charity and fasting, but I can say you this, O Prophet of Allah, that in my heart I have halak for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him that on the day of judgment, you will certainly be with those people that you love. On the day of judgment, you will certainly be with those people that you love. It's mentioned that Anas radiallahu anhu tells us that there was no statement that was liked more by the Sahaba than this statement. Why? Because they had the intense love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they had that great news here, great good news given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mar'u ma'a man hab. You will be with that person that you love. That shows that if we wish to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the day of judgment, and in paradise, then we should cherish the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that will come if you look into the seerah, study the seerah, lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, adopt the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, follow the commands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, read excessive durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we will find that the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will come to us. We should read the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and see what a great personality was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi maqam and status and rank was so high, it seemed no human being can fathom what was the great exalted position Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why one poet says it so nicely, Ba'd is khuda buzrak tuhi kissa mukhtasar, that after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Prophet of Allah, you are the greatest in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The story is short and sweet, that you are the greatest from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to understand and know what was the great characteristics of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what was the mubarak lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what amount of love we find the companions had for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether it was the women folk, whether it was the little children, whether it was those people that were leaving this dunya, it was their final moments, yet they expressed this profound love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is, as I mentioned, the greatest force that will move us towards the obedience of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because a lover sacrifices everything for his beloved, and at all times he is prepared to sacrifice for his beloved. And if he's not prepared to do so, then he's not sincere in his love. That is why if you are beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it will be easy to follow the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Stay away from the prohibitions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and follow the commands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Choose the life code of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like it is mirrored in the life of the companions. A slight indication of Rasulullah's resentment and they leave out that order. Slight resentment, Rasulullah did not like a certain thing, they leave it out. A slight indication that Rasulullah wishes for something, they are there racing to fulfill that command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah, we'll continue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to realize the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to cherish the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to develop that love in ourselves, in our wives, our children, in the ummah at large, and even the non-Muslims. Reminds me, I did not intend to say this, but it reminds me that one group had gone, I think it was in Russia, and they were gone for tabligh purposes. And while they were reading the book, of Fazail Amal, then there was one person who was tagging alone very close by, and they thought this person must be a spy, etc. So they began to change their pattern of reading, and they began to read about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Mubarak life. And they came across the incident of Taif, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam undergone hardship and difficulties. And it was the most difficult day on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his Mubarak life for the Ummah, for the propagation of Deen. It's mentioned when they read this incident, that person burst out crying. He was not a Muslim. He was taking along with them because he understood the English language and he could understand what they were reading. And he said, "Where is this personality? I'd like to meet him." He was in a state of kufr, but when he saw the mercy and compassion and love and difficulty and hardship of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the Ummah, he burst out crying, mentioned after that he accepted the deen of Islam. So Allah Ta'ala give us the true value of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his love, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we are true in our love and we follow each and every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah, we'll continue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillah.